Good morning, everyone, and a very warm and excited welcome to this 8-day Peace Team training camp. Marilyn, what day are we on? Is this day 5?
This is day 5, yeah.
How did that happen? It's going so quickly. Time flies, as they say, when you're having fun. This is Sheva Kaur, Director of HeartMath, Heart Mastery Program. We are hosting this during our Heart Start calls. And I have with me Marilyn King, the inspiration for our 8-day Peace Team training camp and founder of Peace is the Only Gold, a project of Pathways to Peace. Welcome, Marilyn.
Yes, thank you.
We also have with us this morning the founder of Pathways to Peace, Avon Madison, who's going to share some connections to peace building and the United Nations with us this morning. But to land here together, let's first do start our day the Olympian way, per Marilyn's guidance, with a review and preview. Marilyn, do you want to walk us through a review of our day yesterday and a preview of our team building today?
I just feel like you do such a great job in terms of how you synthesize the review portion, Sheva. Any chance I can toss that one back to you?
Yes, you can see us dribbling this basketball back and forth together down the court. Happy to. So let's all take a moment just to arrive here in the present moment through emotional literacy. Yesterday we talked about the role of education and literacy as peace building. One thing we did not touch on that is crucial in my view and review to peace within and peace around the world is the building of emotional literacy. That's our capacity to have emotional vocabulary for what we're feeling and skills, understanding at the scientific level even of what our emotions are and how we can create them and mold them and transform and design them at will. That is a mastery unto itself. It is the mastery of heart mastery. It is also, to me, a mastery of peace because peace starts, in my experience of it, as a feeling, as an emotion. So emotional literacy is the capacity to direct our feeling world in highest service to ourselves, our goal, and the whole. In this moment, the capacity to come present here, right now, regardless of the things that are pulling us into the past or projecting our awareness into the future, our worries, our ruminations, our hurts, our hopes. This is the capacity for presence which accompanies peace. So I invite all of us to focus our attention in this moment to the area around the heart, to allow the breath to come in through the heart and out through the heart, a simple act of coming present and neutral, a skill that researchers at the Institute of HeartMath have shown balances the autonomic nervous system and the emotional body. It's not a far stretch to come from this inner ease and balance into neutral. A reminder for our listeners with background noise that you can mute your line yourself by pressing *6. You can unmute your line by pressing *6 again if you have a question or something you'd like to share. So as you focus your attention in the area around your heart, allowing the breath to come in through the heart and out through the heart, neutralizing anything that's pulling your attention from right here, right now, I invite you to breathe inner ease, balance, and self-caring in through your heart and out through your heart. We'll be posting on the Facebook page later today an ebook from HeartMath founder Doc Childer called inner ease. Inner ease is a kind of capacity to generate peace. It allows us to be at ease inside situations that are not necessarily easy outside. Breathing inner ease in through the heart and out through the heart. Another aspect of ease, presence, and non-judgment. Or I should say another aspect of ease, presence, and peace is non-judgment. These are facets on the diamond of the frequency of peace. So as we begin to review our peace-building day yesterday, we want to bring an attitude of non-judgment to ourselves and others. We have actually some, as preview, some fairly heavy weightlifting to do today in our peace-building. It's important, if we're going to maintain our inner peace in response to things in the outer world that aren't peaceful, that we bring non-judgment to the process. And so it starts with non-judgment toward ourselves. And the review, therefore, is simply an objective one. Did you take a proaction yesterday toward building your own literacy in an area that matters to you? Did you take a proaction yesterday toward making literacy more available to all? If so, what did you do? How did it feel? Can you take a moment to breathe appreciation for yourself and your mattering in through the heart and out through the heart? I love the quote that if you think one being, one small being doesn't matter, try sleeping in a big tent with a mosquito. Each one of us can make a significant difference in the world. If you didn't take those actions, notice if there's a tendency to justify, excuse, or beat yourself up, all of which take a tremendous amount of energy to bother with. And I'm going to invite you in this review not to use any of those strategies to waste your energy, but simply with objective, neutral, peaceful presence to say, oh, I had an invitation to do something for my team yesterday. Didn't do it. Let me see where I could fit that in today. It's part of my preview. So the energy that you would waste in the antithetical actions to peace, like self-judgment or excuses or justifications, can all be harnessed coherently as a laser toward the goal of peace. Marilyn, anything else you want to add to this review?
No, we're good. Looking forward to where we're headed today.
So our preview. As you've identified and either appreciated your implementation yesterday, so you can build on that as a foundation of strength for today, or simply acknowledged where you can do better and build on that as a foundation of strength for today as well. Today, we're going to return our attention to the peace card. But before we do, this is a moment I would like to bring you in, Avon, because you have an offering that could help us build our United Nations literacy. Would you be willing to interject that now as part of our preview of today's peace-building exercise?
I'd be delighted, and I love your expression of the vibration of the facets of the diamond of peace. That is literally a jewel of a phrase, dear.
Co-created by the energies of this group falling out of my mouth.
Well, on this peace card that Marilyn and Sheva have been taking us through each of these mornings in such an inspiring and powerful way with these eight pathways to peace. At the bottom of the card, it says, you are a pathway to peace. And each person can say, I am a pathway to peace. And one of the ways is, as you do your review and preview, is realize what you are already doing in your daily life that connects with one of these pathways to peace on the card. Because when we realize that we already are a pathway to peace, and that together, acting in concert, we are building a culture of peace moment by moment, that really is a very encouraging way to realize that what is present in us in a kind word to someone, starting a recycling program, whatever it may be, doing what the quick coherent technique in the midst of something that is that allows you to more emotional literacy are examples of being a pathway to peace.
I just want to interject here. Not everyone on this call knows the quick coherence technique, so this is a good place for us to do that.
Oh, very good.
Similar to inner ease, as we just did, quick coherence builds on HeartMath's neutral tool, which we talked about, neutralizing the hormones and nervous system to create an inner subjective state of peace physiologically, and adds emotional tone to it by selection. So I invite each of you to take a moment to remember on our first day one of your peace experiences and how it felt. And what we're going to do here is the quick coherence technique Avon just referred to. By focusing attention on the area around the heart, allowing the breath to come in through your heart and out through your heart.
Hi, this is Hillary and being in balance. If you have a fax, send it now.
Hello, Hillary. Well, that was interesting. As you focus attention in the heart, allowing the breath to come in and out, which means simply maintaining your focus of attention in the area around your chest while you allow the breath to come evenly in and evenly out. And as you do that, I invite you to reactivate or re-experience in this moment that feeling of peace that peaceful reference point moment in your life gave you. Because feelings are not actually tied to circumstances. If I said to each of you, remember the last time you were in a near car accident, you might get a jolt of adrenaline down your arms like I just did. I'm not in that circumstance. The feeling itself comes from a physiology of hormones and neurotransmitters and internal biochemistry, heart rhythms, nervous system firing. And we can start harnessing and creating that at will to create the inner conditions of peace that lead to the outer expressions and world of peace. So I invite you in this quick coherence to breathe your feeling of peace in through the heart and out through the heart. And to broadcast that as we hear the rest of what Avon has to say. And to work today at all costs, I'm using the word costs quite purposefully, throughout the rest of our call to maintain that peace focus. And we're going to talk about the economy in a moment and how this heart focus and generating peace is perhaps the most economical choice you can make. So please continue, Avon. Just wanted to interject that for the many text messages and Facebook messages I would get later saying, what was she talking about quick coherence?
Thank you.
Increasing literacy. Those of you that didn't know quick coherence, you just met your increasing your own literacy goal.
Perfect. Well, linking together some of the pathways to peace, an example regarding human rights and the relationship between peace through human rights and governance. And governance is not government, but governance happens at all levels, in our own lives, in our families, in our schools, at all levels. And the aspect of respect for human rights in the settling of disputes and the rule of law for the common good is an example. And linking that with literacy and education, where they are accomplished facts, and especially with the high illiteracy rate that remains in the United States of America, there's a lot for us to do. And where all people have the right to food, shelter, and access to medical care, and that beauty, arts, and media inspire the best in people. Linking all of these together as an example is a referral to two documents at the United Nations that you can go to UN.org, and one is the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which is produced in a very small booklet in many languages and is a wonderful thing not only to carry around but to pass out and to make sure your local libraries have or schools. But it is a beautiful, inspirational compendium. And in addition to that is, and that was accomplished with global participation from peoples from all nations in bringing forward that Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And an addendum to that, and a similar one, is the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, a very profound document. And you will also find on the UN website what Marilyn was referring to, the Millennium Development Goals through 2015. And it's a wonderful way to see the mapping around the world of what is being accomplished within these various levels of the various pathways that you see on this peace card, and how this relates to simple actions that can be taken in your own life. An example of something that someone did yesterday, linking some of these together, was to take the UN Declaration of Human Rights and the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, go to the local library, offer that to the local library, and on top of it, he was going to be volunteering his time to the local library to the children's summer reading program as a result of being on this call yesterday. So I just wanted to just place that as a suggestion to share with
you. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Avon. I'm so glad you did. I have on the Heart Mastery Heart Start calls that usually happen in this time slot read the entire Universal Declaration of Human Rights, but I have yet to get through it on my own or out loud without sobbing. It is such a moving document, as is the history of its creation. So I definitely encourage you to explore UN.org. It is truly one of my favorite websites in the world to visit, and I think the tagline at the top says it all. It is your world. So Avon, thank you so much for that, and for being the seed innovator of the Peace Wheel Peace Card organization. And with that, let's return our attention to this Peace Vision card you and Pathways to Peace, Avon, have given us by looking at the role the economy plays in peace together this morning and how we can be peace team players with that. Marilyn, would you like to read us this vision?
Yes, and we are just so blessed. Avon is such a contribution just everywhere she goes over the years, having been at so many of these international events and summits and synthesizing the work that has been done by people all over the world in creating summits and documents and declarations and synthesizing this work in ways that we can really use it. So I am very grateful, Avon, for all of who you are and what you have done. And today we are continuing with the peace card and focusing on the invitation to imagine a world where economic practices create well-being for all stakeholders, including communities and the environment. And it can be such a challenging thing when we look at, you know, what is it that I could do about governance, or what is it that I could do about many of these things that look like they still have a ways to go. And I don't know how many people on the call are familiar with the nautical term trim tab.
Marilyn, just a little up on the volume again.
Yes.
Good.
Thank you. Thank you for the reminder. So the notion of trim tab is a nautical term, and most of us recognize that these giant ocean-going ships require miles before they can make even a small bit of a turn in where they're headed. And people think it's the rudder that is what allows the ship to turn, but there's so much water passing by the rudder that it cannot move at all of its own accord. But right in front of it is a very tiny rudder called the trim tab. And it is by moving the trim tab that moves some of the water that allows the rudder to move. So I'm always looking for, what is the trim tab? What is the thing that I can do, the small thing that I can do that will have an impact on some kind of a rudder that will help change the trajectory of the ship that seems so inexorably moving, you know, in a direction that may or may not be the one that I most, would like to see happen. So when I think about economic practices creating well-being, it's one of those places like governance for me, which is just feels like such a morass. But again, my thanks to Avon for inviting me to be part of PB21, which is a 5-year think tank on the role of peace building in the 21st century. And of the people who gathered there were experts in many areas, and some of them had to do with, you know, understanding the monetary system. And one of the most heartening things I learned in that aspect was that there were conversations afoot back then in the 90s about eliminating third world debt and the role that third world debt was playing in the inequalities that seemed inexorable in the country. And when I left PB21 and would go out and try and talk about some of these heartening things, including what I saw in these conversations as a possibility, people actually made fun of me. It was like, oh, that's ridiculous. You know, these large financial institutions, you know, that's just part of how all the whole system. And then within years, within just a few years, we saw that, in fact, those dominoes began to fall. And these large, seeming intractable institutions were actually eliminating third world debt. And we saw the rise of things at the other end of the continuum, like the Grameen Bank, that is now just, those ideas are proliferating around the world. And for me...
And Marilyn, for people who don't know about the Grameen Bank, please elaborate.
Yes. Mohamed Yunus determined that looking at the poorest of the poor, and that there were ways to arrange financial lending in such a way that it would impact the poorest of the poor by creating loans and doing it with them in community with support structures. So there were loans that were made, and I think that the loans that are made through this Grameen Bank model have the highest percentage of repayment of the original loan.
That's true, they do.
And that this is now something 20 years later, 20 plus years later, that have proliferated around the world and been kind of customized to the different kinds of customs and structures that invest are
in fact, he won the Nobel Prize for this.
Yes.
And we will post on the Facebook page a place where you can help an impoverished single mom of 9 kids who just needs a $25 loan to start her own business and be financially free, do exactly that with 25 of your own dollars, called kiva.org. So this microfinancing is one of the economy ideas that has revolutionized peaceful practices in the world.
And so for me, this was one of those places where it was my own ignorance that left me in a mindset called, oh, it's, you know, just not anything I could possibly impact. And here I had an opportunity to see at the macro level and at the micro level things that were being done that are helping to realign this ship of economic practices. And so I'm going to direct people. I put up a few days ago on our Facebook website, again based on the peace wheel, a picture that has a picture of the earth in the middle and the eight pathways to peace with an arrow that cuts across all of them and helps us understand that there are things like transparency, our ability to see what's going on, who you are, our ability to hold people accountable, our ability to communicate with people instantaneously around the world. These are the kinds of things that are, as Avon said, coming together in ways. So I wanted to suggest to people that there are, like yesterday, for us increasing our literacy and becoming more fully informed, that when you start to see that there are things inside corporations, like the Sullivan principles and the Ceres principles, which are really sustainability principles that are voluntarily being adhered to and created by major corporations, that there really is a shift happening now, and that we can assist in this shift. Because for me, for example, on my iPhone right now, I can point my iPhone at a barcode in the grocery store and be able to see what kind of a sustainability rating this company has. And I can determine whether I want to buy this company's product or buy another company's product. I have sworn, for example, my personal opinion, I will never buy a pair of Nike shoes once I found that when their employees in factories in Southeast Asia were beginning to unionize, that Nike shut down that factory and moved it to another country. On the other end, I worked with a company called Sodexo, which provides food services for major corporations. And they have actually communicated the carbon footprint of a hamburger bun. So when you walk into a cafeteria where the food is provided by Sodexo, not only do you see what the fat content is of a turkey burger versus a hamburger, for example, if you're a meat eater, you can also see that this company has determined whether to create the hamburger bun where the wheat was grown versus to ship the wheat and create the hamburger bun in the local place creates less of a carbon footprint. So we now have the ability, with transparency and accountability and communications and information, to be able to really decide where we are going to invest the dollars that we have control over in terms of helping to right the ship so that economic practices create well-being for all stakeholders, including communities and the environment. So I wanted to offer this up as, you know, part of our conversation today, Sheva, because, again, for me, this is one of those places where, in terms of Olympian thinking and passion, vision, action, we can have the desire to live in a world at peace. And thanks to ways of thinking like the Peace Card brings to us, we can become more well-informed and be able to align our practices so that they are in alignment with peace.
I so appreciate that, Marilyn, and I'm going to add another piece to that, if I might, this morning, because part of Olympian thinking, not that I am an Olympian in the sense I've been to the Olympics, but I have been in training in a variety of modalities for a very long time. And an important part of, well, let me quote, actually, The Art of War, which seems odd on a peace call, but that book could easily have been called The Art of Peace. And in that book, it said, the enemy you know becomes your ally. So in fully understanding and being fully informed about how economies can drive peace with the choices you make, it is important to be informed about how economies drive what is antithetical to peace. And most disruption to our internal peace, as well as peace among nations, can be traced back to issues that are economic in nature. So without going in depth on that now, saying to each of you, if you don't know the relationship between war and economics, and economy is a pathway of peace for you, then discovering how that exists and what you can do about it is very important. Certainly microfinancing is one of the most elegant solutions the world has seen that is transforming the economy from the bottom up. There are some movies I will post on the Facebook page that you can use to increase your economic literacy, because I am surprised that the majority of people do not even understand the monetary system, how it was set up, what motivated the setup of it the way it is, and how it creates life as we know it in the quote-unquote civilized world, and what other options are. So we'll be posting those as well, some of the other options. I will be putting up a film called The Zeitgeist Addendum, which the beginning of is the best rendition of our current monetary system that I've ever seen. And juxtaposed to that, the work of the Pachamama Alliance, which is working with Ecuador's government to create an entirely different type of monetary system. There's also a book by Lynn Twist called The Soul of Money, which can inform us with sobriety as to our current brainwashing with regard to money and the economy, and how we can awaken from that to peaceful practices within us and around us to change how that is happening in the world. So we must soberly look without averting our eyes to the realities of the choices collective humanity has made in the invention of money and how that drives antithetical practices to peace, so that we can be players in deconstructing those old ways of doing things and invent new things with the same energy. That's my invitation to all of you today. Increase your economic literacy, understand the monetary system, how and when it was created and why. There's a lot out there now that will help you inquire into this. In fact, it may surprise many of you to know that the Wizard of Oz book was actually written as a protest to our monetary system. And there's some wonderful documentaries out there about that. So become literate about money and about the economy and what drives it, and how war is a crucial part of what drives the economy, and the economy a crucial part of what drives war. And through that understanding, with these beautiful visions and actual alternative options Marilyn and others are offering us, choose to act differently with the resources you have. First and foremost, starting with the resource of your own heart and your attention. Because believe it or not, our attention economically is the most valuable commodity we have. Why do you think that the advertising executives I coach will spend millions of dollars for a 25-second spot during the Super Bowl? It's because so many of you are paying attention. What you give your attention to is your greatest power of investment. So in this moment, I want to thank each of you for being on this call and giving your attention to peace. Anything else you want to add to that, Marilyn?
Just there is a notion that people have in terms of thinking about when you're focused on something that matters to you, that I'm looking for something I can do today that will move me one step closer. The distinction for Olympians is it's not about is there something I can do today, but I want everything that I am doing today to be in alignment with my goal. For me to train 6 to 8 hours and then eat food that doesn't fuel me you know, I made the mistake. My coach says, yeah, in terms of diet, you know, don't eat French fries. And I thought, well, that's easy. You know, I really like onion rings. You know? I was just not well informed. So my encouragement is for us to pay attention and to find those trim tabs. You know, what is it that is, you know, the highest leverage so that everything that I do is in alignment with my goal of advancing the evolution of peace at this time on the planet. So thank you all for being here.
Beautiful. Thank you, Marilyn. Avon, anything else you would like to add before we open the lines for people's questions and comments?
I would just say that I don't have the original Greek translation of what the meaning of economy is, but it has to do with something about the well-being of the whole.
Mm.
Is this true manner? So I would just say, look at the non-monetized ways that we can support what we call the economy, which is the well-being of all. And those are the simple things that Sheva was referring to, as well as Marilyn, that you can do on a daily basis that circulates, you know, goods and services. You can make donations of your time. That is benefiting the economy. Recycling is another thing that you're doing for the economy. As Marilyn said, being choosing very wisely what you are supporting. So in terms of what you're buying, what you're paying attention to, as Sheva says, but these non-monetized ways that the economy truly flourishes is part of what we as individuals and together are doing to transform our economic system locally and globally. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Avon. There's some amazing things being born out of barter systems being reborn in communities around the world.
And Shev, I would say, you know, for people just as a thought, many of us have divested ourselves in terms of major banks and investing in local community banks.
Yes, absolutely, which is something the Zeitgeist Addendum also recommends.
Yes.
So this is a vast area, one that has many trajectories to be informed along. And Avon, I just had the opportunity while you were speaking to look up the etymology of economics, which comes from the Greek word, one who manages a household or home, and manage and distribute. So where so much of our inner and outer economy has become a hoarding, the root word is to share and distribute the wealth in a home. Very interesting. Well, more literacy for us all to be built here. And let's open the lines this morning. Is there anything anyone would like to share or ask to complete our time together on day 5? Of our Peace Team training camp? While I'm opening the lines, a reminder to all of you to be pondering what project for peace you might want to launch inspired by these various pathways to peace for the International Peace Day, September 21st, 2013, when it will be our intention to hold another Peace Team training camp, which you can bring your friends and community to. Anything anyone would like to share or ask?
This is Julie.
Hello, Julie. I saw you want to come to Estonia. That's wonderful. We'll be in touch about that.
That's a different Julie, I think.
Ah, okay, different Julie.
But this was just so inspiring again, and so much practical information. So many ways to support my supporting of peace. So thank you for that. And I just wanted to ask Marilyn if she could post the name of that app she talked about on sustainability for the iPhone.
Yes.
On the Facebook page.
Yes.
I'd like to get that app.
You know, Julie, you saying that for some reason reminds me that one of my peace practices that I've never shared outside my own practice is when I pay my taxes, I actually sit for a moment and assign the resonance I want that money to go to.
I love it.
So I choose that the dollars I pay the government aren't funding the war machine. Mm-hmm. But obviously that's metaphoric because it all goes into one pool. But I consciously charge the tax money I pay to pay the salaries of public officials I admire, to improve the conditions of roads or pay the school teachers or those kinds of things, public programs that matter to me. So I infuse as I breathe in through my heart and out through my heart my tax dollars with my love. Mm. That's a peace practice I offer all of you.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I just am also interested in knowing if anybody is knowledgeable about investments that support peace. I have some money to invest and want to invest it somewhere that is supporting peace.
Yes, there are some socially conscious investment funds. And so if you write to us perhaps on the Facebook page, or you can write to me at Sheva@heartmastery.com, I can provide you with some information about those.
Thank you.
And Lynn Twist also would probably have some amazing resources for that at the Pachamama Alliance.
Great.
Yeah.
This is Terry.
Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that I took a peace ambassador training with James O'Day in the Shift Network, and he's written a book called Cultivating Peace. And in one of his chapters, he talks about, when Marilyn was talking about the trim tab, how our intention is the rudder of our attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so wherever your attention, like you were just talking about, Sheva, where you want to send that money, your intention is to send it to those people that you want to support. So wherever your attention is going, the rudder is guiding the attention.
Yeah, beautiful. Very clear.
I'll post
very
that
nice.
Too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So maybe you can post James O'Day's book on the Facebook page as well.
I will.
That'd be great. Anyone else have anything you'd like to share this morning? Well, we very much look forward to day 6 tomorrow, 8:30 a.m. Pacific time. Day 7 on Sunday, 8:30 a.m. Pacific time. And our culminating day, we will return Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific time for the full hour on our Heart Ambassadors call to complete, to celebrate, to launch the next step. Marilyn, anything else you want to say to complete our call this morning?
No, just delighted to be part of this team. It's just I really feel very blessed to be doing this work with you, Sheva.
Likewise. And with all of you here, thank you so much. Much love, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.